So my church sends their greetings as well as their love. And it was funny because I was coming down and I was like, I was talking to John. I was like, yeah, I was coming down. I was like, all right, we're going to go down, have some fun times. I was coming down for the School of the Prophets and made some great connections up there. And I was just coming down. I was like, well, Lord, what else do you want from me? Do you want me to do anything else? Because last time I was down, I wasn't able to do a lot here, but I was like, I'm going to be here this week. And so I was talking to John, and John's like, hey, just come on down. So I was like, coming down. And then a few days later, John's like, hey, you know, if God wants you to do something, you know, just let me know. And it was funny because the time before we talked, I felt a word in my spirit immediately after I talked to him. And I'm like, oh, this is so good. But I'm not going to say, hey, John, you know, can I preach? You know, I'm not that type of person. I'm not going to ask like that. But I was like, well, Lord, if it really is you and you really want this message shared, you'll allow it to happen. And then John's like, hey, do you have anything you want to share, anything? And I'm like, yes, I got something. The Lord gave me something. So this is what he gave to me for you guys. And the text, well, I should say the main theme of my sermon is to stop playing with fire. Now, that's not a harsh word or anything like that. It's a word to challenge you and to engage and to activate you. How many of you know is we serve a very active God, don't we? He doesn't just sit back and spectate on everything. A lot of people would believe that, but he is a very active God in our lives. And the more active we are with him, the more active he wants to be with us. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful thing, though, isn't it? So when I say stop playing with fire, that means that God is wanting to do something in us, to us, and through us for his glory and for our good and our fulfillment. Amen? So some of you might be saying, well, what do you mean by fire? And I don't mean like fire, you know, like the guns would go off in the Battle of 1872 or 1776 or some other battle that Pastor Dave would give you a huge history lesson about. I'm not talking about that kind of fire, which you probably could in any of those battles, I'm sure. I don't know. There's a lot of battles out there. I'm sure there was a battle sometime in that time. Somebody fired a gun in 1872. I promise you that. Whether it was hunting or just something else, somebody fired something. That, I'm not meaning that kind of fire. What I mean is the fire, by definition, is a combustion of on burning in which substances combine chemically and they produce light, heat, and smoke. That's what I'm talking about by fire. And it's interesting because fire is referred to in the Bible 364 times. Did you know that? I was like, oh, okay. You knew that, Robin? Okay, good. Okay. I was like, well, that's impressive. I know a few verses. Yeah. No, and it's mentioned from ways to sacrifice as to imagery of revelation. It talks about a lot of different things in fire. And I know when I've had a lot of fire in my life, just physical fire, because, I mean, I do like fire. I mean, it's just something I like. I mean, I was always around fire. When I was up at Elam, we had a big burning and a big barrel, and it was wonderful. We enjoyed fire, and then some people said, hey, can we throw these other things in here and see what happens? And I'm like, sure, why not? They were aerosol cans. But, I mean, we just said, why not? And then they blew up, and boy, that really caused a commotion. And that was interesting. I thought it was interesting. Other people thought it was dangerous, but it probably was, looking back on it. Not the brightest idea, but it was interesting, I thought, because I like fire. And then, I mean, I get it honestly. So my father used to burn leaves and things like that at our house. And then me and my sister, we liked fire too. So whenever we'd have a babysitter come over, if we had a bunch of leaves, we'd say, let's go burn the leaves like Dad does. Well, this one babysitter, she was wonderful. She really was. And so she's watching us. And so Dad has a big pile of leaves and Mom and Dad are gone somewhere. And I was like, well, let's start a fire. And so we're grabbing the matches and everything else because we didn't really have lighters back then. So we're grabbing the matches and then we're bragging this big old can of gasoline. We didn't know the difference between kerosene and gasoline at the time. So we're dragging this. My sister's dragging this thing. You can just see her. She's dragging it. I'm like, come on, sis. Come on, come on. Let's get this. We'll pour it on here, and we'll see the fire. And then the babysitter's like, no. Let's not do that. Let's not. Do your dad and mom let you do this? And we're like, yeah, all the time. And she's looking at us like a deer in headlights. She's like, not sure what's going to happen. But she's like, I cannot let this happen. So she kind of says, let's just wait till your mom and dad get home. Then we can burn all the leaves that you want to. But it was probably a good thing because there was probably gasoline in there. And so that would have created a very different circumstance that she would not have appreciated being there. I'm sure about that. But it's so funny. And then I remember the one time me and Dave got into some fire, me and Pastor Dave. But that's another story. So anyways, Pastor Dave's like, oh no. But it's good. But it's interesting how fire is in our lives. And you know what the Lord said, what the Bible says about God is he is a consuming fire. Let's turn to Hebrews 12:29. Hebrews 12:29. Because the topic is fire. And stop playing with it. Fire. Hebrews 12:29. We'll start in verse 28 just to make sure. Yeah, just. We'll start in verse 28 and then we'll read it together in verse 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. With reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. He's no joke. Our God is amazing. And some of you might be thinking, well, that's New Testament. Well, let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 4:24 then. If you're like, well, you know, that's New Testament. Well, I like the Old Covenant a little bit better on some things. Well, let's just go there. We'll go there too. And we'll see the fulfillment of that. Deuteronomy 4:24. And verse 24 says, For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Amen. He is. It says it in both Testaments. Now, I love how some people think this, and you have to be careful because when you think of the Old Testament and what God does in that, you kind of think of maybe Jesus sitting on the sidelines for some reason. I don't know why we think that sometimes, and I've come across that a few times where the Holy Spirit's just kind of sitting on the sidelines, not really doing, letting God do his thing. But let me tell you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he was all about this in the Old Testament. Jesus was very supportive. The Holy Spirit was very supportive in the Trinity when God did all these things. He was there. So when the time of fulfillment came, and he said, I will baptize you with fire, that brought a whole new meaning to what they could do. Amen? God is a consuming fire. Now, I promised Pastor John I would only preach 3 hours. I still have 3 hours of sermons for my church. I kind of joke with him all the time because I take so little time on my messages sometimes. Because I just get up and speak what God's put on my heart, and then I'm done. That's what I do. That's who I am. And so I've been having some shorter sermons. So I'm like, I'm just saving up for a long 3 hour one. So you guys don't have to worry about that. But there might come a time where I might bust out a 3 hour sermon, but it won't be today. So don't worry. So our God is a consuming fire. We hear that fire also purifies, doesn't it? I mean, it purifies. It burns away stuff and leaves stuff in a very valuable state, like gold. It refines gold very well because then it melts it all, gets it all to a liquid state, and then you can seize the impurities. And that's so much in our life, isn't it? God's deposited gold in it. God's done great things in us. He's made us in his image for a reason to do wonderful things through. But sometimes we've let some other things get in the way of what God wants to do after we become saved. that he has to get out, he has to purify. And the way the purification happens is through fire. So, I need a demonstration right here. So, Pastor Dave is my favorite one. I'm going to pick on. I love him. I'll pick on Pastor Josh next time, so don't think you're getting out of it. Shua, if we're going to India again, we're going to tug on you. Oh, I love her in the back. Okay, so, got to prime this real quick. There we go. I wanted a blowtorch, but I don't know why they didn't let me have it. But Kenny's got a blowtorch. Oh, man. I would have so done something with that. Well, sometimes the fire is good. Sometimes it was working earlier. There we go. So you see the flame. All right. If Pastor Dave were to hold his hand way up high, like right here, put it way high over it, does he feel anything, do you think? Maybe a little bit. No. If he puts it a little closer, I'll let you be the judge of how close you put it. Do you think he feels something a little bit more? A little bit more? What if he puts his hand in it? He's gonna burn. Yeah, he's gonna burn it. It's okay. I don't want it to burn. Oh well, I mean that's a whole different story. Anyways, but the closer he gets to the fire, the more heat he feels. The more burning or sensation of charring goes on. Amen? And that's not a bad thing. But when we talk about God being a consuming fire, do you know that he wants to do that in your life? There's a reason why he's called consuming fire, because he wants to consume all of you, not just some of you. Not just like, oh God, here, you can have my leg. Burn that. All right, we're good, you know. That's not the walk he wants us to have. And if we're walking in that revelation of him, if we're walking in that relationship of him, just letting a little bit get touched by the fire, then we'll never become fulfilled in his word. I love this, is that when we accept Christ as our Savior, we have to accept him as Lord. Because if we don't accept him as Savior and Lord, we can never have the relationship of friend or co-heir. Come on, that's good. That's really good. If we aren't willing to accept him as Savior, because we can do that good. We got a prayer before you go to, you know, before you go to bed. We got a prayer before you go home. Something might happen to you. We got that part right, in a sense. We know that we need a Savior. We've got that part. But we forget about letting him be Lord, because that's surrender. And that means that you are letting him consume you with fire. And that's painful, isn't it? How many times have you burnt yourself? Yep, that's hot, you know. Maybe your parents told you, hey, don't touch that, that's hot, or don't touch that open flame, and you did. And you're like, oh yeah, I should have listened to them. That was a good idea, you know. But he wants to do amazing things through you. But when you only give him part of you, he can't do it. We have to let him consume us. Because even though it may hurt, it's still good. I love the line in Narnia, the Witch, the Lion, the Wardrobe, when they're at the Beaver Dam and they're talking to Mr. and Mrs. Beaver. They're talking about Aslan comes on. And they're like, is he safe? And they're like, no, he's not safe. It's a lion. But he's good. God will honor his word and honor what he is and honor who he is more than anything else. And that sometimes comes with a little bit of discomfort towards us. And there have been seasons in my life where I'm like, Lord, what is going on? But if I get out of the fire now, I'll never be who he's called me to be. There are things that have been gone through in my life that I have wondered why that ever happened. There have been some really painful things. And I'm like, God, why did I go through that? Why did that happen? Why did you put me through that stuff? And it's not that he put me through it. He allowed things to happen. But because of those things happening, I can go back now and say, thank you, Lord, you brought me through. Because I would never be the man that you've called me to be. I would never be the son of God you've called me to be. I would never walk in relationship like you've called me to be if I didn't go through those times. Fire can be very painful. And that's why a lot of us don't want to do it. I mean, just can we be honest? How many of you want to give up something for Jesus, especially if it's something that you like? Oh, Lord, I love fishing. I just bought a brand new $20,000 bass boat. And now you want me to give it to a new building program. No, that's not Jesus. That is a Satan. He is a liar. You know, I'm just saying. Or my time. Time is a very valuable thing. Oh, Lord, I don't want to come work at church on a work day. Man, I need sleep because, Lord, you've made me beautiful and I need to be beautified by the sleep. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I need my sleep because otherwise I'm just not a nice person to be around. So, Lord, I thank you for my sleep. That, you know, I mean, time, it's a big thing. And it's tough. I mean, we laugh, of course, and I think it's hilarious in some things, but it's actually a little bit more than a serious thing. We have to be able to allow him to consume us all. Because if we're not letting him consume us all, we can never have true relationship with him. And then what happens once all that goes by, say you spend your life and you like do it what you kind of want through your life and you're saved and you're like, oh, okay, you know, you kind of do things. You do some things for the Lord. You do some things out of, you know, not everything for him. And then you go through life and then you finally get to heaven. And you're like, I made it. We're good. Jesus says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And then he shows you what you did with your life. And he's going to show you all the missed opportunities that you had. He's going to show you all the things that he wanted to do in you, but you wouldn't allow it. And then he's going to show you how many people you could have reached. And that's going to be very sad. I don't want to live with regrets here in this world. I have some already. Or there's times I've fallen short. I did not do what I was supposed to do. I didn't give what I needed to give to the Lord. I didn't talk to the people I need to talk to. I'm not saying I got everything. I don't. There have been times I've missed some of the opportunities, and I wish I hadn't. But I know that he is faithful, and I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry I missed those opportunities. Help me recognize the opportunities going forward. And by doing that, I'm submitting myself to his fire once again. I'm like, consume me, Father. David said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Come on. He wants to do that in you. He wants to do amazing things in you. And that way is through fire. So we have to stop playing around with it. We have to let it consume us. Because when we let that consume us, there's something that happens, doesn't it? Once something is burned by fire, I mean literally burned, what happens? Transformation. It's something that it wasn't, that it's something now is. It's amazing to see that. That's why I love how we say, you know, Lord, send your fire, revival fire, these things that are great. I love revival. I love what God does, revival fire. Those things are wonderful. But the thing is, we've gotten too much on the experience of fire instead of the transformation that it brings. And we have to be careful of that. Because when we, I mean, it's happening. And that's why we wonder how people can stay the same way they are. They have an experience with God. And then it's like, oh, that was such a great experience. But they don't let the Lord actually transform them and get into his fire to become new. And that's huge. We're missing out on an awesome part of that. Because with that, when we receive that, when we go after that, there's deeper relationship with him. There are things he's going to show us. They're like, wow, I never knew that. I never understood that. But now I do. He's going to make this word become more alive. He's not going to let his word come back void. It's going to be amazing. It's a game changer when we allow that to happen. But we have to allow that to happen. We have to. I love it when fire invades, or you let it invade your mind and emotions. You become a different person. I know a friend of mine who is just in love with the Lord. He just let the Lord, he's like, whatever God you want to do, just do it. And he was such a wonderful person at college. I loved him. And then he had a car wreck. And he was flipped, and it is like his vehicle turned upside down, and he's laying upside down in the middle of the road. And then he tells me this story. It's like, Van, all I could say was, thank you, Jesus. I thank you. I praise you. I thank you, Father. And that was his heart. He was in a situation where he wasn't sure about what was going to happen. No one was in the car with him. He wasn't sure about what all happened, how he got to the area. But in his heart, he would just say, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father. That changes you. When you could be in the midst of a situation that could be very dangerous, or that could be very, you know, very intense, and yet your response and your actions are, thank you, God. I look to you. I praise you. Come on, somebody. That's good. Also, when you let the fire consume you, your actions speak loud. And I love it when I get around people that just have, when you can tell when people have the fire of God. You can tell because they don't do things half-heartedly. They don't. And I love it because then when they pray for someone, they go after it. I mean, they go after it. It's like, all right, we're going to pray for somebody. We're going to pray right now. Let's do this. And it changes the atmosphere where they are because they're praying to something they know that God's doing. And it's just awesome to see that happen. And I want to encourage everyone today, God wants to use you. I didn't come to here to say, ha, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Get better. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, let us go further. Let us be on the altar of his fire. Let us give ourselves to him fully, so that God can do amazing things in us. How many of you want God to do something amazing in you, don't you? There's something God wants to do. And he puts something in there for a reason, because he knows what you can do. He sees your best potential, even when we don't. And it's amazing, because I'm like, wow, God, you see me in such an awesome light sometimes. I don't know where you see that, but you see it. Even when other people around me don't see it. And he's like, man. And it's like, all right, God, I give you all of me, Father, so I can become the best version of myself living for you. Could you imagine that? The best version of yourself? That sounds pretty amazing. And we can do that. We're living in him, living in his presence, living in just letting his fire come on us and letting him have those areas in our life that are a little tough. It could be pain. It could be heartache. It could be disappointment. There's a lot of areas. Hey, we're fragile people. I mean, I know I won't go back to a McDonald's because I ate there too much in college and it gave me rumblies in my tumbly. So, I mean, I'm just saying. And their ice cream machine is never working anyway. So, you know. I mean, aren't we fragile? I'll never go back there because of that. Are we? I mean, I just make that, but I mean, things of the church. I'll never go back to the church because they looked at me one time, or they sat in my seat one time, and that was it. I'm done. I mean, it's true. I say these things, and they're really true. But when we let the Lord consume us, when we give our lives to him, man, God wants to do some amazing things. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all just close our eyes for a moment. And I want to ask you a question. And my question is this: will you join me in letting God consume all of you and letting him be Lord of our lives and Savior so that we could be friend and co-heir with Christ? That's what I want. Will you join me in that decision today? Like, Lord, I'm sorry I've made some mistakes, or I may have put some time on some things I shouldn't have, and I need to spend more time with you. I need to spend more time in your presence, or more time in your word, or just more time in relationship with you. I haven't made you first in my life. You're not my first priority. You're my third or fourth. Or there's one thing that I seek above you all the time, and it's time to take that back. So, Lord, right now, I acknowledge that you've not been number one in my life at times. And, Lord, right now, I put a stop to that. And I am going to throw myself into your consuming fire. Lord, I want you to consume all of me so that I may be able to look like Jesus. That when people look at me, they're like, wow, I never knew Jesus. I'd heard about him. I'd heard about something. But you remind me of him. Your words of love, your words of affirmation, your words of knowledge, you remind me of Jesus. So, Father, I thank you right now that we're making this decision to go after you, to let you be a consuming fire in our lives, in our hearts, in our time, in our treasure, that we won't put anything else before you, Father. I thank you, Father. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Let's all just lift our hands. Let's just lift our hands and say, God, I receive you. I receive your fire right now. Do what you want to do in me. I receive it, Father. I need you, and I want you to use me, and I want to be the best version of myself. The best version, so I can glorify your name. Because it's all about you anyways. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. There are some people in this room right now that have some hurt. Give it to him. I don't know if it's from family is what the Lord's telling me. Give it to him right now. Just give that hurt to him right now. Say, Lord, I give you the hurt. I give you what happened long ago. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, oh Lord. You're so amazing. You're so awesome. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord, I will run, I will run, I will run after you. I will run, I will run, I will run, I will run after you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, you're just so good. We worship you. We praise you today. You're so amazing. You died, you rose, you set us free, you gave us deliverance, you gave us peace, you gave us forgiveness. You're just so amazing. You're all consuming, oh God. And you want to have a relationship with us, oh God. We worship you. We say thank you, Father. Thank you that you are the only God, the only God that wants to have relationship with his servants because they were made in your image. You're the only one that does that. There's no other religion that offers that. There's no other religion that wants that. That you are a God that made us in your image for communion and relationship. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastor John.